What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Multiverse Monologues, the podcast show where we like to travel across the multiverses and fandoms that we love to talk about the movies and television shows that accompany those universes. Welcome back to the Star Wars movie marathon. Last week, we were pretty much fresh off of Revenge of the Sith. It was no spoilers. If you haven't seen the Revenge of the Sith podcast, I would go back and watch that before you listen to what I'm about to say, but it was our most highest reviewed one across our aggregate of scores, and that was our new number one, and we're about to have another new number one this week.
All right, 20s out of 10s all the way around.
Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Let's just, for those of you jumping in, if I wasn't clear in the description and thumbnail, this is the movie. This is Clone Wars, the movie.
So this is what put Clone Wars on the map. You would not have season 7 without this.
Dave
you would
Filoni's
not have Bad Batch without the Mandalorian wouldn't have existed without this movie. Your baby Grogu, your baby Yoda that you love so much wouldn't exist.
And I like how Ethan puts it. The film, the Star Wars, the Clone Wars, the film, the theatrically released 2008 collection amalgamation of, you know, Clone Wars episodes that they turned into a film.
Right, they pooled the best episodes of the series ever and released, right?
The greatest arc that's really deep and
unfortunately George Lucas in 2008 came to Dave Filoni and team who were producing a series for Cartoon Network without feature like length animation or, you know, like Pixar and Disney have been doing this for years, and he comes to Dave Filoni and company and says, I want to put this in theaters. So Star Wars The Clone Wars was released on August 3rd in 2008 to, I don't think mixed is the right word. I would probably have to say it was largely
critically panned.
Negative. It was critically panned, you guys.
That year, it was up against Kung Fu Panda 1, Madagascar 2, Horton Hears a Who, WALL-E, Ponyo was in theaters that year, Bolt, Open Season 2. I mean, come on, guys. You can't get any better than that.
And especially, I mean, you got Kung Fu
the Panda, Pirates WALL-E. Who don't do anything.
Oh,
guys.
It was left in the dust there.
It had no shot right from the start.
It really didn't. But George Lucas wanted to do it anyway. It was another one of his very confusing decisions among a decade of very confusing decisions by George Lucas. And this was just, to many Star Wars fans, this was another just, all right, I guess George Lucas is going to do what he's going to do. And while this doesn't, it didn't really negatively impact the TV show that aired on Cartoon Network, like we said, it was critically, critically panned. But the year is 2024. You're talking to a bunch of guys who, I'm assuming here, did not see this movie in theaters when it came out in 2008. So we're judging this, you know, as kind of a just an animated introduction to the Star Wars, the Clone Wars television, the excellent television series that was released after this. And, you know, we're here to talk about it. Me, Ben Rayside, and introducing the gentleman who you've heard their beautiful voices so far at the beginning. First off, Mr. Ethan Wentzloff. Ethan, how are you?
I'm doing great, Snips, and I'm excited to be here talking about the Clone Wars movie. And you talked about how maybe this movie didn't scare all the fans away from the series, but it might have scared me away when I was younger. I'm excited to talk about that, but more importantly, I'm excited to turn some clankers into scrap metal.
Scrap metal! Nice.
Let's scrap them.
The voice you're hearing is Mr. Micah Hatt. Micah, how are you?
Well, I think I'm ready to talk peace, peace negotiations here. As the negotiator!
The negotiator!
That's right.
That phrase comes true here. And another thing that came to mind is 2008 wasn't exactly the most pleasant year for doing much anything recreational, as there was, I don't know if you guys remember, we were only 6 or 7 at the time, but apparently our parents were struggling with some financial crisis going on that we were just like, yay, Star Wars! At the
it's
time.
A better way to celebrate than with some Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that many movies did very well in 2008.
What is that, Micah?
It's what?
A little stinky!
Whoa! Yeah, stinky in the box office and stinky on screen.
Stinky the hot.
We'll talk about the numbers of the movie because the budget to profit ratio is actually not as bad as you'd think, but as far as the movie goes, it you know, it's really out there. This is I'm not putting it mildly here. This is no Revenge of the Sith. Oh. It's probably not going to be up
it
there
did make quite
with
a
one of the best. But that's the thing, because it does apply to our format. It was released in theaters, so we're going to talk
in America.
About it. That's right, in America.
It almost feels like when this was released, George Lucas was sitting there like thinking about all the money he's going to make. He's like, it's a trap, you know, like. I'm going to let these people think.
Talk about the Clone Wars.
This is a movie.
Yeah. The most,
come pay me money.
The largest part of Star Wars that hasn't been talked about yet on screen. We're gonna do this.
Well, I feel like that's kind of the sentiment that he, you know, went into it with. But that's the thing. A lot of people didn't go into it with that sentiment. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about it. But again, as of this recording, the Revenge of the Sith video has, you know, it's been out for a couple days now, and already there's been some good feedback and general discussion in the comment section of that video. So drop your thoughts on this one down below. Did you grow up with this one? Like I know I did, and I want to know what your thoughts are down below in the comments. Click subscribe and like. But gentlemen, without further ado, let's hit the hyperdrive and head over to the Star Wars galaxy.
Jabba the Hutt's son has been. Negotiate the treaty with Jabba. Obi-Wan will. Find the renegades that hold Jabba's son. Your mission will be, Skywalker.
A galaxy divided. Striking swiftly after the Battle of Geonosis, Count Dooku's droid army has seized control of the major hyperspace lanes, separating the Republic from the majority of its clone army. With few clones available, the Jedi generals cannot gain a foothold in the Outer Rim, as more and more planets choose to join Dooku's separatists. While the Jedi are occupied fighting a war, no one is left to keep the peace. Chaos and crime spread, and the innocent become victims in a lawless galaxy. Crime Lord Jabba the Hutt's son has been kidnapped by a rival band of pirates. Desperate to save his son, Jabba puts out a call for help. A call the Jedi are cautious to answer. And that, folks, is your opening crawl, as it was. This was a new thing for every Star Wars film in the past that's had an opening crawl, but this was an open narration. George Lucas took that from old war serials in the past, and he was like, you know what? We're going to put this. This is going to be the start to every single one of my episodes, and it's the start of his film.
It's not
film.
Bad.
No, I... Oh,
it makes it
I
sound like
it.
You're going to watch a really good movie.
Yes,
plus they have the clone troopers like in battle before he says this.
The Lucasfilm logo pops up. Yeah,
it's like, good. Oh, what am I watching? Infinity War? What is going on here?
It's good. And they also use that for the teaser trailer for season 7. It's iconic. It's very good.
I think manipulation is a good word when talking about this movie.
Ooh.
Like when some musical cues come in and you're like, oh, this is Star Wars.
This is a good movie. Yeah, John Williams, that's his theme that he made.
That's a Force theme.
Gentlemen, let's get into it. Ethan, what is your relationship with this movie? Because when you did your Clone Wars rewatch a few years back, did you watch this one as well?
I did not watch this one as well, because I remember when I was a kid, this one came out and we went to Blockbuster and we rented this movie, if you want to call it a movie. We went to Blockbuster, guys, and I remember we went to Blockbuster because we never returned it. And it was one of those Blockbuster movies that we just kept forever, and Blockbuster eventually closed, so we never had to return it.
So you're still getting bills on that DVD.
Still getting bills, yeah. But I remember watching this, and, you know, I was young enough to where I'm like, oh, okay, this was all right. But even then, a few things really jumped out at me that I started to question. Even as I was 7 at the time this came out, I was like, okay, they're introducing a lot of stuff that takes place between Attack and Revenge that they don't address. Okay, this Rex guy, he's not around.
Mm-hmm.
And what the heck? Anakin has a Padawan?
Oh,
this is so stupid. This is garbage. At least that's what I thought back then.
You're garbage.
So,
so you weren't a fan of it back in the day.
I mean, I didn't hate it, but it wasn't that hook that I think Lucas wanted it to be. It kind of scared me away from the show, and something that happened, like the introduction to Ahsoka's character, I think is incredibly weak in this movie. And it's hard for me to watch this now because I know who Ahsoka becomes. I know that I love her. She's an all-time great Star Wars character for me, at least. And it's hard to get myself back in the mind space of when I hated her, because I love her so much now, but I did hate her.
I hated
Ahsoka for such a long time, and it was because of the rough introduction I got into this. But this time watching, I was a little more endeared to her because I'm like, okay, Anakin does this to Obi-Wan. Anakin sucks in the way Ahsoka sucks, but now you get that dynamic, and I thought it was really cool. I didn't love this watch of it this time, but I had a really pleasant time with it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, there was fun stuff to revisit. I'm excited to talk about it. I don't think it's great, but I think the elements that roll over into the series are going to be fun to talk about.
I love it. I have largely the same thoughts. So you hadn't watched it since you watched it as a kid?
No. This was my first time watching it in a long, long time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Long time.
Long time. Mr. Het, how about you? What's your relationship with this movie?
So we had the original six on DVD, right? And then we had the Clone Wars movie. And it was always slotted in between two and three on the shelf. And I remember we would always put on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, just any of them in any order. And we would watch, you know, some of them more than others. But Clone Wars never seemed to make it into the DVD player. My brother, he really liked Clone Wars, but I would throw a fit whenever it would start, because I was only 6 or 7 at the time. So, you know, you got away with things when you're the little kid. So
what kid likes animation?
Yeah, I distinctly remember thinking, I don't want to watch that. That's bad animation. Like they look so bad. My PS2 can make better graphics than that. Why don't we just play the Lego game?
Which isn't a bad choice.
Yeah. I just remember the first act was so slow to me growing up. Like, you watch
was
it now.
Was or is?
We'll talk about that. It's definitely not the strongest act. You are introduced to Ahsoka, because it's all things that they need to do to introduce a show. They need to introduce the foil to the main character. So Ahsoka's, budding relationship with Anakin, and how they start to collide there. And I remember just not liking Ahsoka at all. And she's just annoying to me. And Stinky the Hutt was annoying to me.
Yeah,
just
what
how
the heck?
It screamed all the time. And
what about our,
they just complained. Like, the whole movie is just them complaining about stuff. And I was like, I don't want to watch this. Why can't I just watch Star Wars, like the real movies?
And watch Luke complain about Tachi Station.
Yeah, come on. We would always skip Tatooine. But yeah, I would always, and whenever my brother would want to put it on, I would get up to the shelf and I would put on a different movie. I would put in like episode 3 or episode.
You would take over the DVD player.
Yeah, episode 1 or something. And he would be like, wait, this isn't the Clone Wars. You got to put the Clone Wars on.
And then they had a brother-brother duel.
Exactly. We got the lightsabers out. That lightsaber right there.
The Battle of the Heroes. Beat him with it.
Dang, get those plastic welts on his arms and cry and run to mom. And
the duels would go crazy with that.
My brother and I, we're close. This is good.
I got you.
It built that connection. As there was tension between Ahsoka and Anakin, so was me and my brother. We bonded over
that. What kind of tension? Between Ahsoka and
a
Anakin.
Brother and sister tension.
Brother
like,
and sister?
Like that. Like, that.
Yeah. Okay. I was the annoying one, and he was the one who put up with my annoyance.
There we go. Yes. But this time around.
This time around.
That was in the past.
This time around, it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was just okay. Like, the first act is nothing special. I feel like there's nothing really that interesting in the. I mean, just to round up my opinions real quick. Second act is pretty cool. And then third act is just. Is this over yet? And it's not.
it's almost over. You get closer and closer to being over.
Going to different places, and then Padme shows up, and you're like, wow, there's another 20 minutes.
And it doesn't help that it's just so clearly just a show.
Yeah.
Just TV episodes crammed together. And
yeah, like they set up the next episode in the episode. It's like one long episode, and they introduce the next act. Like, they don't just do it. Like, Yoda has to fly out from Coruscant for his 2-second line.
Mm-hmm.
But
Yeah.
We'll definitely talk in more detail about this, but I wasn't very hot on it. Not like, oh, it's bad, but it just wasn't good. It's like the worst of Clone Wars is this.
Mm. Yeah, but no one cares what we think, because famously Ben has met some of the voice cast for this movie.
You've
been on
the Clone Wars.
Instagram page of James Arnold Taylor.
Yes, I had the great privilege last year. Shout out to my wife. She got me epic tickets. 100%. That was probably one of the greatest gifts I've ever had in my life. I got to meet Matt Lanter and James Arnold Taylor, the voice actors for Anakin and Obi-Wan. That was truly special, because when I was a kid, this was like the greatest. I have a weird relationship with the first couple seasons of Clone Wars. That's how I started. I remember going to the Algonquin area public library and renting the packs of episodes at the library and just watching them. And I fell in love with one particular element of the Clone Wars, and it's in the name, the clones.
Oh.
They were my favorite part of it, because it was war, and you had the coolest troopers ever made,
and it was clones.
One of my notes does say that there are clones and there is war. So,
but that was why I fell in love with it first, because they had the coolest weapons, the coolest armor design, and I was all about it. So I would watch those first few seasons, and then I found out that there was a movie that they made, and I had no idea of the chronology and ever.
Wow.
So I watched the movie, and I genuinely, as a kid, was blown away. I didn't care about the genuinely terrible animation of not only this, but the first season of Clone Wars. It gets slowly better, way better, honestly, as the series goes along, but this has some really rough animation. But I didn't care, because my boy Captain Rex was there, and he was just dropping cool line after cool line. We've got to hold out. You know, the shields bearing down on us. I loved Captain Rex. He was the best. And I, even still to this day, I think that the opening to this movie, the Battle of Christophsis, is actually really strong. It's my favorite part of the movie, because it is clones and Jedi warring. The Clone Wars.
Oh.
Bunch of droids versus a bunch of clones. They're the battle. And Kevin Kiner's excellent score for this. Just booming. I really actually really like, still to this day, the first act of this. And then we can talk about it as it goes along. But I loved this movie as a kid. I have grown to realize what this is now. And I'm a little less fond on it now, but I still think it has some good elements to it. Mm-hmm. But nothing, I think we're all in unison here. Nothing spectacular. Right.
And I think critically wise, this movie didn't help, because at the time, this was, 3 years after Revenge of the Sith. At the time, people still did not like the prequels at all. There hadn't been that resurgence in the love for the prequels. So when this comes out, which is just more of that, but even worse and with a lot of kid elements in it, I totally see why this was.
They're like, Star Wars is for kids now. That's it. And I mean, there hasn't been an adult Star Wars movie since, so.
Dang. Wow. That's an argument to be had for a later time. But,
Rogue One, maybe.
Yeah, Rogue One. Come on, you got to put Rogue One in there.
Yeah, I agree.
At Solo, there's
but
a
what was an adult
smooch
movie before that one? You know, like
Revenge of the Sith for sure.
Yeah, but
say
kids loved it.
Return was, yeah,
Empire for sure as well.
The OT was pretty, and Holiday Special included.
That's the thing.
Very adult.
Star Wars has always been for all audiences. This was the first one that really said, okay, you know, we're going to gear it towards kids. Mm. Adults can enjoy it if they want. They can view it as an extension of the films, but this is for kids. And yet, I think George Lucas, again, just another weird decision. Oh, no, I'm going to put this in theaters. This is another Star Wars film. And no, dude, it's not. It's four Clone Wars episodes. You know?
There hasn't really been that many. I mean, we look at the Disney Plus library of vintage Star Wars, and there was only like the Ewok show and the droid show before this. So this is the first real show that's coming out. They didn't know how well it would go. So maybe George was like, hey, maybe we just put it in theaters and we see where it goes, you know?
It's really impressive what Filoni was able to do and how he was able to recover from this, because it's a saying in the YouTube sphere that the worst thing that could ever happen to you is you get a shout out from a bigger YouTuber, because then it elevates your channel and your content before you've earned that, before you've built up to that. And that's kind of what George Lucas did with Dave Filoni. He, by releasing this in theaters, he was like, okay, you have not learned how to do animation. You have not really learned how to tell a good story yet, but let's throw you on the big screen, baby, and see what happens. So he kind of, you know, was gaslighting him in a way. And the fact that he recovered, I think, is just all the credit to him.
Well, and I also think that if it wasn't that this was made by Lucasfilm, this would have been pretty much just canned right after the first few episodes or even the first season of this show, because it didn't get great reviews. Mm. It was for kids. It was on Cartoon Network. It was just, the animation was bad, but it was Lucasfilm, and this is where George Lucas wanted his story told. And that, to me, like, that's really great stuff. Mm. You know, just because a TV show doesn't knock it out of the park in the first or even second season doesn't mean you have to cancel it. And honestly, they're better for it, because this spawns my favorite television show and one of the best animated TV series ever made in Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Truly, we get some great animation and some great Star Wars storytelling, some of the best in my opinion. But again, yeah, like, we're not here to talk about the TV show however much I want to. This is a strictly review of the film. And yeah, it's not that great. Especially for me, the first act, really strong. I love all the Clone Wars battles and the music and everything. And then they go to Teth, and the fight at the monastery is pretty good. Shout out to Ba'omar monks. And then the third act really is weak. I start to feel like, oh man, this can be over now. And an hour 40 minutes really feels, you feel the hour 40 minutes, you know? It was not meant to be watched this way, you know? These arcs were meant to be watched differently. Like, it's just, this is not the way it was intended.
And I'll say this, I took a nap halfway through the middle of this. Like, I paused it and I lied down for a minute, and then I waited a full 24 hours before finishing this. And, you know, the movie structured that way. It worked.
It worked for you, right?
Yeah. If you pace yourself and you only watch half an hour-ish at a time, you can get through this. You might.
It's the same method I had for getting through the Clone Wars show. You know, just a little bit at a time.
I watched all of Clone Wars in a week, so that was...
Holy cow.
Yeah, I had a spring break that was pretty packed.
Packed full of Star Wars there.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
But I want to bounce back a little bit on the first act being good, because I didn't like it very much. I think the choreography for the... Yeah, the clones, they really got up and they lined up and aimed their shots. They shot guns, and then they jumped their little barrier and ran head first into the droids just to get murdered by the... Like, what is going up at point blank change their odds of survival? Like, completely plummets their odds. Like, why are they running into this huge army of droids when they're way outnumbered? And yeah, that's Anakin's strategy, but... I didn't like how uninteresting it looked to me. I feel like it was just, all right, we got one droid. Let's duplicate until we have a big old square. Definitely evident of cheap production design.
Interesting.
Which, yeah, that's exactly what these droids were. They were meant to look very robotic, because they are. And the clones were meant to look like an army. So they're very... rigid. All the animations for Jedi, yeah, all the animations for the, it just looks so I was watching a short YouTube documentary about why it was called, like, why does Attack of the Clones look like a video game?
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. Video.
It was a really good video, and it was talking about how animation for 3D works, and it was talking about how they had to animate the CG characters in Attack of the Clones. And characters that get more on-screen time that have the close-up shots, like Yoda, they spend a little more time on, and they spend time on the in-between animations. So every frame has to have an animation picture. So for these for the Clone Wars, every single character has to have the same sort of attention. So if you're watching the characters that you're not supposed to be paying attention to, they're very jittery, very like animatronic looking. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the main character, and it switches per character, it's very jarring. So you'll see Anakin, he's like saying, all right, you clones, go this way, this way, this way. And then it switches, the attention switches to a clone right next to him. And the clone's like very fluid all of a sudden. And then back to Anakin, and he's back to animatronic mode. it took me out of it quite a bit for that opening. Less as the movie went on, I feel like they were able to smooth things out, you know, have closer shots on just Rex or just Anakin, or it was just Anakin and Ahsoka in a scene, or it was just cockpit shots where it's Anakin or Obi-Wan driving a ship. But the animation's not good. Big surprise. Everything looks like concrete.
What about what about the like the scenery, the sets designed? Like they go very from bland to Teth.
Very bland to me.
See, I disagree there.
Yeah,
I...
they've got blue buildings. Tatooine's just the Dune Sea. Everything looks like concrete. It's just concrete on concrete. There's no color. There's no variance. I mean, in the next time they go to Christophysis, it looks different, right? Don't they go back to Christophysis?
They do, yes.
And they spend more time in the buildings. It's more fleshed out.
Yeah.
This one, it's like, all right, we have to rush together to build this bridge. There's a spot next to the bridge where they have that negotiation scene. And then there's the area with the shield generator. And that's all we have time to build for. We got to get this movie out the door. Mm. It just felt very rushed to me, scenic-wise. Like, all right, we don't need to pay much attention to this because nobody really cares. It's not going to be a movie or anything. And then George Lucas came along and is like,
it's like,
hey, we're going to make it a movie. That's what this felt like to me. Very, very season one, season two-ish.
Oh, for
sure. Like, they didn't have any idea this was going to be a theater movie. And it sucks because WALL-E came out this year, and that is one of the most beautiful movies that is 3D animated for like so early, 2008, and movies were already looking that good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it up next to The Clone Wars.
You got to look at the budget. The budget of this was like $8.5 million. And the budget for WALL-E, look up the budget for WALL-E really quick. I'm pretty sure it's like over $75
million. $180 million.
Okay, way more than
I thought. Yeah, but this is Star Wars. They should have a higher bar. And sure, like
agreed,
we can make that argument like said and done, like the movie's already out, but it should have had a bigger budget. I think it needed more time in the oven. It needed a better, just from the start, it needed a better screenplay. It needed a better direction. Dave Filoni, I'm sure he did an amazing job for a show. This shouldn't have been a movie.
Well, as episodes, it were. Mm. Like, you have your Christophysis episode, and then you have your Teth episode, and then you have the Escaping Teth episode, and then you have the Tatooine episode. You know, those are the four episodes.
If they were episodes, it would have been a lot more forgiving.
Well, that's really how I view it, but like that's kind of how you have to take it, because if you take it the film route, like it was released as a film, it's just going to be like the worst thing that Star Wars has maybe ever done. I'm not going to lie. Barring the Ewok films and the holiday special.
Okay, no, I was about to say.
They don't really factor. I mean, this is, I will speak and say for a fact here that this is better than those, but how much better? That's definitely up for debate. Mm. But I want to talk about something that I do genuinely like.
Are you watching the whole movie right now?
No, I'm having it play in the background.
Yeah. Can you tell the background is just a bunch of hexagons that they copy-pasted, overlapped each other. The buildings are just shapes that they sprouted up from the ground.
As you two were talking about it, I wanted to go back and look. And
the lighting specifically.
Kind of see who I support more. And it is kind of really boring to look at.
I don't know, man.
They run right into this huge army of clones. Where are the clones at in this shot? There's no clones. Like, they just send out these.
Hold on, you ten clones, get up there.
There were no clones.
You stopped watching too early because this next scene you get.
They're like, oh, we don't have any more clones in the shot. We got to spawn some more in.
You get Commander Cody going karate kung fu some clone troopers.
The clone who runs in and punches the droid.
Yeah. Which, yeah, there were some one-off shots. Some...
Ooh.
And then back to shooting.
Audio listeners and video watchers, too. We're watching the opening scene of the movie.
I think the concept is cool. You have a crystal, literally a crystal city. I really like the Teth system as well, the monastery.
You got Emerald City from Wizard of Oz.
Literally, it's the play on that. And then you have this epic like sun spilt skyline and on Teth. And then Tatooine is Tatooine.
Yeah, but for me, what's the point of having a planet if there's no people on this planet? Why are we here? Why are we, you know, what is important about Christophysis? We don't meet the leaders of this planet. We don't meet civilians of this planet. We don't even see a single species from this planet. Why do I care about this planet other than how it kind of looks. Because Tatooine, you can... All right, we already know about the huts. We already know about Jabba's palace. So that's fine. But it just... I had no reason to care about it. The lighting's inconsistent, too, throughout the movie. And that's another thing that...
That's definitely true.
Yeah. Because, like, look at this. The sun's over here, but the shadows are coming from the other side. This was before ray-traced lighting in movies. I think WALL-E was the first movie to have ray tracing, where light actually comes from a source, and they don't mathematically, you know, it. So you can't blame it for the time. It's not. It's using TV show graphics.
So Micah, Ethan said at the start, you know, Ahsoka was not very well thought out, and many fans also agree Ahsoka was not that great. I myself did not like Ahsoka at the start. Were you always kind of against her character, or how do you feel about Ahsoka?
I was always against her character, but I feel her character is written well. I feel like this is a great starting point for a character. It gets you into a spot where you're like, all right, yeah, this character is annoying. And then through the seasons, she becomes more and more endearing. And I found myself watching the show, because I watched Clone Wars movie first, and then I watched the show. Season one, season two, she's still kind of annoying. And then once you get to 3, 4, then she becomes more of her own. She leaves the Jedi Order. Her character becomes way more interesting to watch. So I think this is a humble beginning for a character that is not very cool to watch in this movie.
And I do like how you see the progression.
Which is interesting, because they want you to like characters when they're first introduced, usually, right? But she's written so different.
Like Dave Filoni has come out and said that, like, that you all took it the right way.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be annoying, like Anakin was.
They're all annoyed by her.
And if she's perfect from the start, there's nowhere to go with the character.
And that's something that I really appreciate about this movie, because that's a very bold choice, especially if they knew that it was going to be a film from the start. That would be a very bold choice. But since it was a show, it works a lot better as a show.
You were going to say, Ethan.
I don't even remember what I was going to say. I was going to say, I like Ahsoka, and I think maybe they made her too unlikable, at least when I was watching the first time, but it does what a good character arc should do, is when I go back and I watch, because the same thing happens with a lot of characters in other TV shows that I watch, when you go back to see where the character started, you go, oh, wow, they weren't as bad as I thought they were in my mind. And I didn't find Ahsoka as annoying as she was when I first watched this, because, man, she was unbearable when I first watched this. And even a few years ago when I was watching through the series, I was telling Ben, like, I don't know if I could ever like this character. And they got me. They roped me in. I really, really think Ahsoka is a great character now.
Yeah, because I remember my aunt, Katie, she's a huge Star Wars fan. And she was like, she's got Ahsoka everywhere. She's got Ahsoka minifig. She's got Ahsoka like that one. She's got...
She have an Ahsoka tattoo? Or no?
I think so. I don't remember.
Not sure.
She's got a sticker on her car, though. So that's cool. With like the what's the symbol that she has that's on the clone troopers? The Ahsoka...
It's basically her symbol.
Yeah, that symbol.
The, and stuff. But
so yeah, she has that. She was very endeared to Ahsoka, and I went into the show and I was like, I don't like her.
Yeah,
she's annoying. But there are, I will say, in this watch, I noticed that everything war related that she says, they're all smart moves, and Anakin always makes those ideas his own. So like, she suggests something, and then it's not like a kid's show where it's like, oh, actually, that was a good idea. I'm going to take your idea. No, like, she convinces him to do the thing that she had in mind from the start. And I like that. Her first conversation with Rex is really interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I like that. That was pretty high-tech stuff for a kid's show.
It's because Lucas never once in this show does he ever treat the audience as children, even though it is geared for children.
That's a question I have. How heavy was the hand of George Lucas in this movie and in this series?
Because he wasn't a writer. He's not credited as a director. What's he credited as?
Executive producer, I believe. Okay. But he was in all the storyboard rooms about it. But essentially, this was George Lucas saying that, here, I'm going to take all my knowledge and I'm going to get together a group of people and basically teach them how to make Star Wars, mm-hmm. teach them how to my style of storytelling, Henry Gilroy, Scott Murphy, to name a few of them. And of course, Dave Filoni, but it was him saying, all right, here you go. This is the next generation of Star Wars storytellers. Yeah. So he was there to help and guide along, but especially in the later seasons of the Clone Wars, he had a lot, not less of a say, because he could come in and write something out immediately. But yeah.
When was Clone Wars canceled, the show?
2012, right after season 5.
And it had a rough kind of run, didn't it? Because didn't it jump from Cartoon Network to Disney XD?
It was always on Cartoon Network.
Okay.
And then Rebels was XD.
The specials were released on Netflix, 12 episodes. And obviously, season 7 was Disney Plus. But it was, yeah, it was canceled because Disney bought Star Wars. Mm. They had a lot more planned.
You have to wonder, how much did George Lucas really care about this show and just Star Wars at all? Because he had scripts for later sequels and he had scripts for whatever, he had ideas. Mm-hmm. But did he care really? Because when does Clone Wars getting canceled relate to him selling Star Wars to Disney? How do those coincide? Same exact time. So
like, Disney canceled the Clone Wars because it was too expensive.
Was it kind of his way of saying, I don't care what story is being told on Clone Wars right now? Like, because I feel like this show is the baton, him handing the baton off to Filoni. And then kind of him selling Disney was him saying, yeah, Filoni's telling this great story here, but I just want to get rid of Star Wars.
I feel like George Lucas' sentiment on Star Wars since the prequels. So I think he put out the prequels because those are the story that, like, he wanted to complete the story that he had from the start. And then, as you said, he wanted to pass the baton over for Clone Wars. But I don't think he ever really cared about what the extended universe did. There were a lot of things that prequels did that weren't really leaning in towards what extended universe already established. There are some things that don't really add up, some things that, because, you know, he wasn't really a super huge lore head deepened into the holocron researching everything, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, the story mostly adds up for 99% of it. It's good. But I think a big purpose of the prequels and the Clone Wars was to open up the door to this expanded universe so that other people can write the story for him, so that Star Wars can continue its legacy of being this gigantic franchise that exponentially grows. It's a great business decision to have a show like this and to have the prequels introduce so many questions that are unanswered, such as the Clone Wars being completely skipped over.
Yeah, right.
That was a huge business decision. And, you know, all about the bag. You know, George Lucas is getting that residual check for the rest of his life.
That is very true.
And to completely restart it with the sequel trilogy, putting all this stuff in Legends, that opens the door entirely for doubling, you know, twice the pride, double the fall, you know?
Yeah, we'll talk about that, man, because that...
It's coming up with the next
movie. Not necessarily the most popular decision, that's for sure.
This is the last movie that we will watch in Legends, correct?
No, this is canon.
This is canon? I guess it's in the era of...
The Clone Wars TV show and this film is canon.
When did Legends start?
Even Disney recognizes that. Legends starts with Disney. Disney, once when they bought Star Wars, anything that wasn't the Clone Wars animated show, movie, or the films was categorized as Legends. That Force Awakened, the Force Unleashed game right there, that's Legends. Anything, books, comics, all Legends, like not canon material anymore. And, you know, they wanted to build their own version of it and have the freedom to tell their stories, which to an extent, I almost understand. Like, I kind of understand your new studio and you're not getting rid of these things, but you're giving yourself the freedom to do what you want.
And it was getting to be so much, you would have to read all the way back into the 70s with those thousands of books that were coming out.
And it's kind of like you want to acknowledge what work was done, but you also want the freedom to do your own thing, because like it's like when Marvel adapts a comic, or when DC adapts a comic, or when anyone adapts a comic, you want to take your own creative liberties. You don't want to note for note copy it. And with the sequel trilogy, you want to take some liberties. And we're getting into sequel talk now, but are those liberties good? We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned for that, folks. I want to talk about the voice acting here from not only epic new cast. Dee Bradley Baker comes to voice the clone troopers, all of them. Dee Bradley Baker, James Arnold Taylor is Obi-Wan, Matt Lanter, Ashley Eckstein, and they got
Christopher Lee.
Yes,
Samuel L. Jackson.
His last Star Wars role before his untimely demise.
Was it his last film, The Hobbit?
So his last film alive was The Hobbit, but he was in a couple movies after that. He was in a movie called Angels in Notting Hill, I guess.
Interesting.
And then he was in the short
as a voice
in 2017.
The Hunting of Shrek.
The Hunting of Shrek.
No, where do you see that?
But yeah, so he was Saruman for the last Hobbit movies.
I gotta say.
Here we go. The Clone Wars was his last.
Dude, their specific voice acting is not great. Like Samuel Jackson and Christopher Lee, they were born to play live action characters, not
Samuel
voice
Jackson.
Acting.
I had to sit there for a second. I was like, wait. Did they get the other guy yet? Or is this still Sam Jackson?
Yeah.
And then Christopher Lee, I was like, I think that's Christopher Lee.
Right.
Yeah, but did you see that? He even voiced new lines for the Lego Hobbit game.
Really?
Yeah, he was the narrator for the Lego Hobbit game.
Oh.
And that was his last, like, big project because he was doing it at the same time as Battle of Five Armies.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
And Anthony Daniels coming back as C-3PO.
Of course. Yep. You got to have him.
We got David Accord as Rhoda the Hutlet.
Can you do a quick Google search up on the screen? Anyone listening, Google this. Do Clone Wars Count Dooku live action, just because it's
what is this?
The character design is hilarious.
This?
Maybe it's that. Go to images.
Just delete it.
Go to the images. Okay. You'll
see
it.
It was just
because.
Oh! You mean like the face shape?
The way his face is shaped is hilarious, and the translation. No, that's not the one I'm talking. Yeah, there we go. The white one, the meme.
This
there
one?
We go. Yeah.
That's his face is so tall. How does it compare to what's his name? Gendy something? His art style. Because this is all based on his Clone Wars shorts, right? The art style?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
Like, Jordan, it was originally supposed to be like, they weren't going to touch that. They were going to be canon in tandem. And then they kind of just were like, nah, we're going to do our own thing. Yep. That's not canon anymore. Qui-Gon Jinn looks pretty good. There are some that look really good, and then some that look pretty, like, really
yeah, like,
terrible.
Anakin looks pretty good, Obi-Wan looks pretty good, Yoda's pretty spot on, you know, he's got that, I mean, he's a puppet, so it's...
Yoda will always, it was destined to be good, but...
Qui-Gon's got a big nose in the animated
in the original
one.
Clone Wars one. Some good voice acting, some bad voice acting.
It's like, nothing super spectacular. I do love the droids being so comical in this compared to the, so there are hints of that in the prequels where the droids would be like, you're under arrest or they'll do like their little thing, but
yeah,
they really lean into it in this movie. And I'm really glad they did, because it adds a chance for comedic relief in every single episode. You can have a little droid bit where they're like, freeze, you Jedis, we're gonna get you, then they just are slaughtered. It's so funny. I love the little droid antics where they're leaning over the ledge and he's like, where'd they go? And then they fall off. It's so silly and it makes it a comical show.
To contrast that, though, I think Dee Bradley Baker is my favorite part of this movie.
So good. Yeah.
And also the Clone Wars as a whole. I think his performance, like, he does not get enough notoriety.
He plays like everybody, doesn't he?
Legit.
Well,
there's
a show currently coming out called The Bad Batch, and he literally does play everybody.
If Tom Kane isn't voicing the person, then Dee Bradley Baker is voicing
him. Right, Tom Kane voices the Admiral. He also voices the opening announcer, which, I mean, could be the same thing. But, yeah, Rex is one of the coolest clone troopers, and I'm happy to say that he is consistent throughout every one of his portrayals in the episodes and the expanded universe, and especially in this, you know, And he swears but you can tell, in this movie.
You can tell that
the first Star Wars swear.
Like, not ever.
Oh, no, Han swears. Han swears and, in the original trilogy.
Alec Guinness does in A New Hope.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So I guess he's not as cool as I thought.
No.
But the way Rex says it is pretty cool, I got to say.
I will say I did notice that Dee Bradley Baker's Clone Trooper voices weren't
copy-paste.
As developed as they are now.
No.
And yeah. He's even said that in interviews where, so originally he voiced the different Clone Troopers in different sessions. So he would do one session where he's doing the whole of like fives for a whole run through. And then he would go back and he'd do all of Rex. And then he would do, but now he's gotten to a point for even like the Bad Batch. He can do all of the Bad Batch voices in one run through. What an amazing guy.
It's true.
Like, how
impressive.
Do you shape your voice in different ways like that?
I've watched a ton of interviews and he says he has a key word for every single clone. And his one for Rex is solid. So he'll say solid, and that will then in turn get him into the character of Rex. And boom. I don't know what it is for the other Bad Batch, the Bad Batchers. But those are definitely the most unique ones. But even now you watch the Bad Batch and Wolf comes on screen and you're like,
you can close your eyes.
That sounds
and they're
different
voices.
They are. It's truly impressive. I think they really, as time goes on, they really knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they got better and better and better. And then they added, you know, really good
cast members.
I think
regardless of how we think the voice acting is in this movie, like, they go on to be really, really good. Like, James Arnold Taylor, that's Obi-Wan, dude.
Yeah.
That just is. And Matt Lanter is also Anakin. And Ashley Eckstein is Ahsoka. Really good. Really good gets. I don't think they're the best portrayed in this movie.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can Nika, Futterman.
Yeah. She's a legend.
She is. She's really good as Asajj Ventress.
Yeah. Asajj Ventress is in this movie, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Totally new.
So she was in the Clone Wars miniseries.
Mm-hmm. Gave Anakin a scar.
But she was in other stuff before that, like books, right? Wasn't she?
I believe she was also in a Bounty Hunter game back in the day. But yeah, she was big in comics, expanded lore of Clone Wars.
Is Asajj force sensitive?
Yes.
Okay, so how does she factor into the rule of two?
So the Sith have kind of this thing where they'll have Sith lords and then they'll have underlings. It's kind of, think of the Inquisitors from Rebels. She basically is an Inquisitor now for them, but essentially she's an assassin.
She's on the council, but not granted the rank of master.
Got it.
She was a Jedi. Previously, she was trained in the Jedi arts, and then she was seduced by the dark side of the Force by Count Dooku, and then so now she's his assassin personally. And you know, even Darth Sidious in the Clone Wars, if you keep watching, is like, you know, she's getting too powerful. You've trained her too much, and he's like, Dooku, get
she's
rid of her.
Too
you know?
Good,
yeah. But she starts off here, and she's not that great.
No, she becomes great. But what I like in this movie is even the little duel they have, her and Obi-Wan. You get some little hints at their little relationship come in the future. And not that they ever get romantic, but there's always been some unspoken thing between those two characters. And you even feel it in this.
Yeah,
he says, my darling.
My sweet. And I mean, come on, it's Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
so like, how can you not, right?
He's smooth.
Even Asajj, I think, plays into it later on in the Clone Wars or whatever. My dear Obi-Wan. Like, she says it like that later on, and I'm like, wait, are we? And then I think they actually
It's Obi-Wan's work wife. That's what...
Yeah, one of
100%.
Yeah, one of my favorite Clone Wars episodes is when her and Obi-Wan fight Maul and
whatever.
Savage. Yeah, Savage Opress.
That was a good arc.
That's a good episode.
Great arc.
But I think that's what this whole podcast has been, is just because kind of saying something about this movie and then saying
Clone Wars is
falling
great.
Into the show. So let's kind of refocus the movie.
I had a huge urge to buy Jedi Survivor today after I watched this. I was like,
why that?
How much is it again? Because I haven't played it yet.
Because he's watching, watching animated Star Wars, and he was reminded of good animated Star Wars.
Well, because then we had the tease today about tomorrow's trailer for Acolyte.
As of right now.
If you're listening to this on Monday, it would have come out 6 days prior. So
Have already seen it.
Yeah, you've seen it.
Jealous.
Another voice actor that I want to compliment here is Catherine Tabor as Padme.
Yeah.
Her impression, I mean, everyone's impressions are pretty good you know, for their counterpart in the movies. I would say Anakin's is less accurate than the Gendy's Clone Wars miniseries guy. He sounds like the whiny Anakin from Attack of the Clones.
They did that intentionally. For sure.
Yeah, and that's really spot on. Matt Lanter is very much like the Revenge of the Sith one.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, even Hayden Christensen, when he came back on for Ahsoka and the Obi-Wan show, he said, hey, you guys did good work. You did good work that Clone Wars thing.
The voice actors, pretty solid.
Pretty solid. Yeah. And Padme also in the, I also like, I don't know if the voice actor is up there right now, but the voice actor for what's his name? The Hutt, not Jabba the Hutt.
Zero the Hutt.
Right.
Which
Zero the Hutt is, I believe, Tom Kane.
No way. It took me many years to realize. Oh,
Zero. I always have to look it up.
Zero is a dude.
No. Corey Burton.
Zero's a dude.
Corey Burton goes on to voice Count Dooku posthumously. Christopher Lee
and Cad Bane.
And Cad Bane,
which is probably his most iconic one, but. Dude, I'm glad you brought that up, Ethan, because I had the same. I always thought it was a woman.
Zero I always have to look it up. This time, I looked it up again. I was like, "Is Zero a dude?"
Because they call him Uncle. We were probably all on Google at the same time.
Yep.
Zero and the Reddit article Zero Gay comes up, and there's a Filoni quote talking about.
Did he know
how he's like?
Yeah, dude, he is. Like one of those cringy, hilarious characters in this. Just totally weird.
Zero has a peak arc where he, if you've seen, this will be relevant to our marathon as a whole. If you've seen the special edition for Return of the Jedi, you know the Jedi Rocks song at Jabba's palace, that CGI creature thing.
What's her freaking name?
She gets a relationship arc. With Zero the Hutt.
And I thought that was a gay relationship in the show because I thought they were both girls.
I didn't really. You're like, man. That was just weird.
Star Wars is edgy, dude.
Oh, what's her name? Dude, it's on the top. It's on the top of my tongue.
Yeah, but.
Tip of my tongue.
I mean,
the top of your tongue.
What else do we have to say about this about this movie?
We have lightsaber duels.
Lightsaber duels. We have three of them to rank, guys.
We do. Yes.
All right. Get the list up, Micah, because I got
to
know.
Anyone object to throwing all three?
Towards the bottom?
Towards the bottom.
Dude, no.
Because they're pretty.
They're pretty buns.
They're cool moments. All right, moments,
so we have Obi-Wan versus Ventress.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was pretty good. I like that
Not bad. Good dialogue between the fight.
Who? Anakin
and Dooku
versus Dooku on Tatooine.
We've got.
There's one more.
Is there one more?
Yeah, it was another.
Here, I'm watching the movie right now.
Yeah, just scrub through, I guess.
Just let me know what you find.
You can cut this out if you want.
No, we're
no.
Keeping this
we
in?
Keep everything in, guys. These are unedited, for you. Unfiltered
for all of us.
Podcasts.
Just for you,
dude. I'm not gonna lie. I think there might only be two here. I could.
Let's do it. Yeah, but just call it.
Call two.
Those two.
It's two.
No, there were definitely three though.
I know there are. I'm looking.
Which one? What's the third one? Why can't I freaking remember it?
Ben is.
Are we counting Ahsoka versus Ventress on the 2 seconds that they fought? No, we can't count.
There are three though. I can't find it.
Ahsoka fights a bunch of Magna Guards.
She does, but that's not it.
We can't count that because it's only one saber. I don't know, man.
Well, if I look up a top 10, it's not going to be in there.
What? You don't think so? As Ethan looks for it.
Peak.
Yeah, it is. As Ethan looks for it, Micah, let's go and rank these things.
All right.
Let's start with Obi-Wan versus Ventress. I think it's better than Obi-Wan versus Vader, and that's it.
I mean, it's definitely better than Noah versus Tarek in the
Ewok still have
film.
A huge appreciation for Qui-Gon v. Maul on Tatooine, but we're past that shit. yeah, and I don't think it's better than Grievous versus Obi-Wan.
No,
so I'm happy right there.
I like that, right? Ethan, do you agree with that ranking right there? just above
Obi-Wan. I would put it second from the bottom, but I'm cool with it there too.
I would be happy there too. You want to go average that out? Right there?
Or average it out? Obi-Wan all right, that's Vader? Fine. I'm good with
okay,
that.
Towards the bottom. Anakin versus Dooku.
It was good okay. Good music.
Yeah, it was okay. I would put it a little higher.
Right?
A little higher.
That's not bad. I like there was a part where Dooku like slices his pack open and then he's like, what the heck? It's like, dude. Yeah.
Plus the lines between Dooku and Anakin were cool.
No, yeah, they were. I wrote the line down because it was so bad the way Christopher Lee delivered it. he said, now I have killed the Hutt. Here, I wrote it down. I'm trying to find it.
You deceive yourself.
Because for us who've been watching this, we know that, okay, they were keeping Stinky the Hutt in that backpack.
Mm-hmm.
But Count Dooku just assumes, oh, they have a little Hutt in that backpack.
Right.
So he's going to engage in battle with Anakin and then slice through the backpack. And he says, I can't find the quote, but he's like, now I've killed the Hutt. And
now I have sliced your backpack open. Now you have to get a new one.
Your backpack, the Hutt is dead.
We will get train routes.
Matt Lanter doesn't help either. He goes, oh no, you have been tricked, Count Dooku, sir. My apprentice, Ahsoka,
au contraire,
has taken the Hutt up the mountain to Madame Zeroni.
You fool of a Took.
To Madame Zeroni.
I like that ranking right there, just above Obi-Wan versus Vader. I honestly would put both these above that one, but I'm not mad because they're not that great.
I could only find those two.
A third lightsaber duel.
But maybe it was so quick that scrubbing through can't remember it and I scrubbed through the whole movie, I think that's enough research for this podcast.
All right, and we'll miss it, we'll rank it next week.
Yeah, we'll throw it
unknown
up.
Unknown third battle.
Throw it on the ranking.
It's on the ranking.
Put that up there with Yoda v. Palpatine.
All right.
Those are your lightsaber battles.
Lightsaber battles.
Not great.
We don't have to run through the full list, because if you want the full list, come to next week's episode or go to last week's episode.
This is a longer list than our
it is hefty.
Marathon, so
yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's towards the bottom.
Gentlemen, do you want to say anything else before we get into favorite scene, favorite character?
It's part of my favorite scene, what I have to say. So
you want to go favorite scene?
Sure.
Then?
My favorite scene is when they are climbing up the big spire to get up to the Ba'omar monk monastery or whatever.
Oh, dude, and they're playing like rock music?
Yeah, that was sick. Yeah. So they're climbing up, and then Ahsoka gets on top of this crawling up the wall walker. What are those called?
ATTEs.
ATTE. You've got a Lego one of those, right?
I do. Clone Wars one. Actually, the one that was made for this specific scene. Yeah.
It was really cool to see those things do more than just walk in the background and then shoot at things. It climbs? They climb now? That's crazy.
Good be.
And then seeing the STAPs up in the air flying around with the droids on them. Oh, I've got a couple of Lego ones up there. I should have got one of those. But
Shnikes.
Yeah, I like that. I like how it begins the relationship between the competitive nature between Ahsoka and Anakin, where they're like, I'll race you to the top. And then once Anakin gets up there, oh, where are you, Ahsoka? I told you to stay close. Can't get any closer than this.
Sky guy.
Snippy. Yeah, he first calls her Snippy. I was thrown off. He's first talking
Don't
to her.
Get snippy with me, Snips. Yeah. I kind of already talked about my favorite scene. It's the opening Battle of Christophsis. Just that like super long montage. Anakin jumping down with the jetpack troopers and Rex and just all the troopers just saying their lines. I love that scene. I think it's really great. But I already talked about it.
It's an L take, but we'll let it slide.
Ethan.
Zero the Hutt. Round it out.
Zero the Hutt.
Take the third act.
I'm going to take Asajj versus Obi-Wan.
Ooh.
I think the dialogue is really fun. I think the scene is very fun. I think
you felt the sexual tension between the two?
Hey, I did. I don't think it's wrong
Hard
to admit
to.
That, guys.
You had to turn it off.
The TV?
Yeah, and then you went to bed.
All right.
You're like, this is too much for me. I got to go.
Holy
no, when she like throws the cloak at him, I'm like, oh, this is cool stuff. This
she
is
like,
cool stuff.
Disrobes, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
There are multiple times in this movie where the Jedi are not paying attention and they should have been shot by a droid, or they should have been sliced by a lightsaber.
True.
But it's a show.
It's a kid show, okay? Yeah. That even happens in the movies.
All right. Next.
Favorite character.
Stinky the Hutt.
Ethan, you got one?
No, I'm already saying mine. I took it already. Stinky the Hutt. You can't take Stinky the Hutt because it goes...
Zero.
All it does is be annoying. My favorite shot. Huts. I take back my favorite scene. My favorite is when... So Anakin tells Ahsoka, you should just put the backpack down because Stinky's heavy. Oh, I don't want to. Well, you should. So then, all right, Ahsoka puts the backpack down. Oh, they're talking for like 2 seconds. And then they're like, all right, we got to go now. So she picks up. Stinky's not here.
You told me to put him down.
You told me to put him down. Stinky's underneath the Jabba like platform.
The wake, Anakin grabs.
And Anakin grabs Stinky's tail and is like,
oh, yeah. Good scene pick. Yeah. It's disgusting, even with the bad animation. I just imagine grabbing that little slime.
Oh,
thing.
I love
and
then it.
The shot of Jabba the Hutt carrying him at the end is also just hysterical because the size difference. It's funny.
I would have loved to see Stinky be reinserted into the prequels in a re-release in the pod racing scene.
Or awesome. Throw him in the special edition of Return of the Jedi because, fun fact, we looked it up.
Oh, yeah. So if you look up right now, Stinky the Hutt death on Google, it pulls up a result where it's like Leia chokes him with Jabba's chain. And you might think, oh, okay, maybe like they meant Jabba, right? They meant,
No.
It says after choking Jabba to death, she goes over to... Stinky the Hutt, whatever his name is. And
Toto? Is it
Tuto?
Tuto the Hutt?
Tuto the Hutt? Rota the Hutt.
Rota
the Huttlet. Excuse me.
Rota
the Huttlet. Not mentioned in this movie. I don't believe his name is mentioned.
I believe it is.
It is?
It's also one of his names is Punky Muffin.
Punky Muffin?
Punky.
But yeah, I guess it's legend that he's killed by the same chain.
We also got that from Korra, so I don't know how reliable that is as far as lore goes.
It's canon now.
In my brain, it's canon, because I love the idea of, like, Slave Leia choking, like, Jabba, and then immediately looking over at Little Stinky and going, okay, you're dead.
You're next.
You're done.
It's like how they go back in time. They say, all right, let's go back in time to kill Thanos. No, you can't do that. Why don't we just baby Thanos, you know? Maybe Rota is the reason the First Order comes into existence is because
could be.
That's my fan theory.
Ethan, are you taking zero?
But yeah, I just love how crazy Stinky is.
Come on, we all know you want to take.
I'll take two. Zero. The Hutt. Let's go.
Oh!
2 for 2 on the Hutt department. Ben is not. Are you going to continue the trend?
No.
Go Jabba the Hutt?
I can't. And I'm not even going to go with obscure character this time because if I have an opportunity, I'm going to take it. I got to go with Captain Rex.
Boo!
I know.
Ben, you've gone obscure character.
You should have gone TC-70.
Listen. I would have accepted Fox. I would have accepted that.
You should have done Medical Droid where he's like, yeah, just give him some of these things, and if that doesn't work, go see a real doctor.
Actually, I thought about Kronos 327. I have come back from my mission on the 12th moon of Yaut, and he just gets destroyed, like thrown in prison. I thought about Kronos 327. No, but if I have the opportunity to pick Rex as my favorite character, I got to go with Rex, man. And I've already kind of talked about it. So,
well, why didn't you pick him in Return of the Jedi?
Wait, what? Who did I pick? No, I picked Nien Nub in Return of the Jedi. Oh, wait, you can't miss that one either.
You had two opportunities to pick Rex in this whole watch through.
And I'm going to go with him one time. You know, one time.
Fine.
Sure. Got to go with Rex.
Sure. Because
it's Dee Bradley Baker voicing him. Got to go with
him. Right.
I also want to highlight the Obi-Wan character design. Yeah, maybe the animation isn't the best, but I think it's a really cool look.
Agreed.
The Obi-Wan and Anakin 3D models are pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are improved in the redesign when they go for the final season.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's better in the finals. Like I didn't like the clone trooper faces in the
almost everything is better in season 7. There's a Martez sisters arc right in the middle there where
that's true.
It's still good Ahsoka stuff. It's good Ahsoka stuff in
for
there.
Sure. Yeah, Ahsoka's good in it for sure. Box office numbers.
What was your favorite score while I'm pulling it up?
Ooh, great idea. I gotta highlight my boy Kevin Kiner, who gets better and better. But I think he does a really great job. I mean,
does he do the Rebel score also?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Also does a score for Ahsoka, but he has been Dave Filoni's. He's the guy. You know, like if he carries on George Lucas's legacy, I think pretty well. He's got a lot of good themes in here. He makes Ahsoka's
George
theme,
Lucas
which goes
or John Williams.
John Williams. I'm sorry. Yeah, John Williams.
Yeah, I like to see George Lucas. Oh, let's put a little crescendo there. And
come on now. But I think Kevin Kiner does a great, and I think the Battle of Christophsis is my favorite track that he has. I'll talk about it more in my Letterboxd review.
Oh, go check it out. Links in the description for all three of our Letterboxes. Shout out.
I do see two award nominations.
Is this more than any of the prequel
films? The Razzie Award nominee for worst prequel, ripoff, remake, or sequel.
Ooh. What? This does not. Well, ouch. I guess what was it going up against in 2009?
Oh, dude, it was a nominee for. I'm going to have to look this up.
Could you? Just imagine being Dave Filoni and winning.
It lost to Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Speed Racer was up there. I heard that was good.
Although that hottie and the naughty.
Let's go like that. That category is very dense and worst prequel, remake, ripoff, or sequel.
Yeah, what?
That is a very broad category.
That's so many things.
So impressive that this won. But I love that it was up against another Lucasfilm production that same year.
Yes.
Lucasfilm had a bum year that year.
Firing on all cylinders.
Hayden Christensen was also the winner of the Worst Supporting Actor for Episode 3 for Razzies. So
Razzies actually have some validity to them.
Holmes in Batman Begins?
What it
deserved.
Star Wars and, oh boy. Yeah. But anyway, this movie, back to this movie, the budget was more than the holiday special Ewok movies combined at $8.5 million, which a lot of that is just the starting. And I think that without the budget that it got for this opening movie, it probably wouldn't have had as good 3D. Because like four 3D TV shows, as far as 3D TV shows go, it's not the worst for 2008.
Yeah.
Like what you were looking at compared was what the Lego Ninjago show, which that's a lot easier to animate than something like Clone Wars.
Eek. We got that Ninjago watch through.
It made $14.5 million domestic open for some reason. And
because it's Star Wars in theaters.
I know,
of course.
I know this many people. Zero. He even made an appearance in this movie. Zero. People who watch this in theaters.
Yeah. Neither do I. I don't know anyone.
It made $68 million. I think it made it all in the DVD sales. Crazy.
Yeah, probably.
Crazy enough, because everyone I knew had the DVD of this.
Yep.
I mean, even classic. Ethan wanted it so bad, he stole it from Blockbuster.
Yeah, we robbed the Blockbuster. We're the reason Blockbuster had to close.
You lifted it from Blockbuster. Profit ratio, it made 8 times its budget, which is on par with Phantom Menace and Force Awakens, both in that 8 range. And Revenge of the Sith, actually. Revenge of the Sith and Attack of the Clones made less than this.
And as far as the rest of our marathon goes, it is the... I mean, we have one movie that profits more than this, but the rest of the films don't really hit this mark.
Yeah.
Just because the budget was so low.
It's just too good.
It's
what
too good.
Yeah, I think everyone was like, Captain Rex makes an appearance? We got to go see this.
Frick yeah, dude.
But yeah, that's, I mean, we talked about the awards. We talked about
monies.
Now it's time to talk about scores.
Critic scores.
So this was critically acclaimed across the board.
I mean,
This is interesting. Yeah, this is interesting. So Rotten Tomatoes Critic was a 19.
Okay.
User was a 40.
Better.
Metacritic score was a 35. Metacritic user is an 86, which is
out of nowhere.
Pretty crazy. Clones. Yeah. The Letterboxd score is a 56, though, which is like a 2.5 out of 5. And IMDb is a 5.9.
Letterboxd is very skewed, though, because if you go on there, it's even the high reviews on Letterboxd are people saying, this review is actually for the show, But the show's not on Letterboxd, so whatever.
That's true. That's true.
So it might even be lower than that.
I think final season is on Letterboxd. I forget.
I think it's just The Siege of Mandalore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will review for that. But the average with these weird numbers, so maybe even that's why Metacritic user is up there. 49%.
Yeah.
I don't think this is an 86% show as the Metacritic user.
But no. It's around similar numbers to
our Ewok movies.
Our Ewok movies critically. And
and Rise of Skywalker's down there too. So, I mean, this wasn't even good enough to make my Last Jedi ranking or the Hollywood Reporter ranking.
Wow. Oh, that's tragic.
So I guess we should put it on the board, huh?
Let's put it on the board.
Let's give it some scores,
guys. Yeah. Ethan, you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start us off. So I think just it's hard to accurately just look at this movie for what it is because of all the greatness that comes after and all the stories that follow and what this team of creatives goes on to do. But that being said, isolated as its own thing, I don't really like this at all. I think there are a lot of good ideas floating around in here, and it kind of kicks off the series in an interesting way. And even judging this, taking this out of it being a movie, but judging it as the start of the Clone Wars show, I still think it's a pretty weak kickoff to that series. I don't have too much to say about this. I think it's not garbage, but it's not great. I'm going to go as middle as I can possibly go. I'm going to go 5 with this.
5 out of 10.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Solid score.
Micah?
I do want to add real quick. We didn't talk about this. This may be the first part of the Clone Wars show, but it's not the first part chronologically.
No, it's not.
Cat and Mouse is
the
first. Cat
and Mouse and the Hidden Enemy.
And the Hidden Enemy. All lead up to this arc.
Yes.
Which I think are... If you add those two episodes, I feel like it's a much better package. I liked those two episodes.
There you go. There's your 2:20 runtime right
there. Yeah.
Much better. Bigger movie. Those are both also two really good episodes of the Clone Wars too.
I don't know why they didn't kind of, I don't know,
they made them later, that's why.
Yeah. Anyway, this movie is fine. There's it for me, it's kind of on par with our Ewok movies. Like, yeah, there's some individual elements that are okay, but as a package deal, it is just 3 episodes of a show. With that, I don't really have that much else to say. Most of these characters are already introduced with the prequel trilogy and the OT, so we already know who they are. It doesn't add much to their characters other than Anakin and Ahsoka's relationship. Is it better than any of the Ewok movies? I would say it's better than Caravan of Courage. I think I had more fun with Ewok Battle for Endor, though. So I'll probably give it like a low 5, probably like a 5.3. I'm happy with that. I don't really have the middle range of scores defined in my mind yet. So we'll just throw it there. It's not quite like a literally nothing was good, nothing was bad. It was just like a 5. That's what a 5 is for me. Anything lower than a 5 is like I am physically hurt by some of these actions that are in the movie. But Stinky the Hutt gives it a couple points extra.
Oh, that's that 0.3.
That's the 0.3. Call it that.
Before Ben gives his score, I just want to ask Ben. So to someone who has never seen Clone Wars, you hold Clone Wars as your favorite show of all time?
Yes.
Ben holds it as favorite show of all time. If someone listening to this has never seen the Clone Wars, what should they watch first to hook them into the show? Because it's certainly not this.
It's a great question because the Clone Wars, a lot of people who go about it, they want to watch it chronologically. And yet, to watch it chronologically, you don't really get hooked unless you're really, really into Star Wars. You don't, in which case you probably have already seen it. You don't really get hooked until when would you say you started like really enjoying Clone Wars?
Around season 3-ish, 4-ish.
3 and 4.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to get through at least 2 seasons of television.
Once Ahmed Best starts
really
voicing Jar Jar, ooh, it gets good.
But that's the thing. But in my opinion, and I please talk to me if you want to get started in Clone Wars, but the Clone Wars is best viewed as an anthology TV show, a collection of arcs sprinkled throughout the Clone Wars. You can watch this in a chronological order. And yeah, there's certain arcs that are better if you watch them after others. But if you plop yourself right down and you watch the Umbara arc, with General Krell and Captain Rex and all the clones, and just view that as kind of like a Star Wars mini movie, kind of like this hour 20 minutes. It's fantastic. The Ahsoka series, like, so there are some really good episodes and arcs, and I've actually compiled a list on my phone of some of the best episodes and arcs in the Clone Wars. So if you're just trying to get out the filler and watch the best of them,
the Ahmed best of them,
so I've got it right here.
Even you, super fan of this show, when I decided to watch this for the first time, you discouraged me from watching every single episode in season order. But I told myself, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this the way that it was created. So I chugged through it, and I mean, it's really interesting.
Yeah, there's also the Star Wars community on Reddit has compiled a list of the essential Clone Wars episodes. I can't find it right now, but if you look it up, you can find a pretty solid list with like number one priority episodes. So if like you want to do a quick run through, you can watch these ones. If you want to do kind of a longer one with a couple more arcs, it's got that listed too. And then it's got everything but the filler episodes for the the full.
But do you have a season number, episode number that someone could leave this podcast?
What's the first one with Jar Jar where he's like worshipped? That arc is good.
Genuinely, I do not.
No answer.
I have, because it depends on why you're watching.
Would cadets
show
not be a good jumping on point?
Yeah, but there's a lot to that too. That technically is a part of a three episode arc. Cadets, and then you go into rookies in season one, and then you go into season three, and you watch the Battle of Kamino.
Yeah, so you're already
there. Is
I would say
plot.
The Geonosis arc is.
Geonosis after a 4-episode arc that's really fantastic. Yeah. There's a lot,
and it's
of
early, right? Isn't
genres.
Season two. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first arc where I was like, okay, yeah, this is a good show. Like I can, and then it jumps right back into.
Yeah, I'd like
kind of
genuinely. Dumpy. I've only known three guys to ever go and just watch the Clone Wars as like. Not cultured film, like, but you know what you're getting into. You know what you like. You know what you don't like. And it's you two and my buddy Nick, who all watched it in the past like 5 years.
Let's go.
And it was good. Like,
we're
I'm
in
on,
good.
I'm
good.
On Ben's list.
We're well, in it's, elite territory.
Seriously, I don't even know if like. I mean, I am such a big Star Wars fan, but like,
I know for a fact though that there was an arc you didn't watch till I had watched through the show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
like
so,
you can add my Aunt Katie to the list.
It's my favorite want. Show, but I will openly admit that there are genuinely some episodes of this show that are terrible. Like they're just not good, and they're filler. And it's you don't have to watch them. No, it depends on why you're watching the show. You
and
know?
That was all my very long-winded way of setting Ben up here to give his score, because this is his favorite TV show, and no one cares about what me and Micah's score is. I care about how Ben filters through the nostalgia and the love for the show and rates this movie.
And there has to be, and I thank you for the intro, there has to be a filter you have to put on this, because while there is a lot of nostalgia for it, there is a lot of elements of this movie that really don't work. The rigidity of all the 3D models is something that really bothers me on a second watch, and second, third, fourth. I've seen this movie many times, but... that along with some really rough voice acting and a plot that kind of it starts off really great and then slowly gets a little bit worse. So there's three big things going against it. But I think there are genuinely some great moments in this. It's got a great cast, great scenery in my opinion. And genuinely actually some really good like heartfelt moments. I like the moments between Anakin and Ahsoka where they're genuinely just talking about stuff. You might not made it as Obi-Wan's Padawan, but you might just make it as mine. You know, with Ahsoka's theme
there's
swelling
seeds
in the background
of a great story.
There's a scene when right before he grabs Stinky the Hutt out from underneath there, and there's a scene between
the
him
Hutlet,
and,
excuse you,
yeah, him and Ahsoka Roto. Where they sit there and what are you trying to prove? You know, a great Jedi once told me, you know, it is the will of the Force that you're at my side. Nothing happens by accident. And Ahsoka's like, well, he says, what are you trying to prove? And Ahsoka says that I'm not too young to be your Padawan. Genuinely, there are moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually endeared to Ahsoka when I was, you know, really, you know, not too hot on her when she started. But but yeah,
whoa.
Yeah, with that all being said, With that all being said, there's good and there's bad to this, but I genuinely don't think this is some of the worst Star Wars. And I gotta say, I balk at Micah's score putting this lower than the Battle of Endor, because this is much better than either of the Ewoks.
You guys both weren't as hot on Battle for Endor, but
no,
Parker and I, no. we kind of like Battle for Endor.
Let me just say this: as far as Parker's rankings of Star Wars go, you're happy to be in league with him. I'm asking you that.
You said that was a justifying answer. So I mean, there are some elements for Battle for Endor that are quite sci-fi that sometimes Star Wars misses the mark on. And
you mean the witch stuff? And yeah. Okay, all right. Go listen to Battle for Endor podcast after this.
That's right. But you listen to Clone Wars, and my score, giving the Clone Wars film, I thought about this for a while, and I'm comfortable giving it a 7 out of 10.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought about 7.5, but I cannot go higher. I can't go higher. There are just too many things in this that
I was wondering how high you would go, because sifting through it is really tough. From
what would you give something like the Clone Wars miniseries? Would you say that it's significantly better than this movie? Or because I would say if you want to be hyped on Clone Wars, that's a good place to start for me. Seeing like what the clones could be, not like super deep into their story or anything, but what the Jedi could be in the freedom of an animated space.
See, they're just two very different things. Mm. All that is so much style over storytelling. It's not even funny.
Let me get Mace Windu like karate chopping like an army of droids.
It does what it wants to do perfectly, as Micah, you know, his legendary quote. But yeah, It's a 7 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Sweet. So with Ben's 7, with my 5.3, and with Ethan's 5, we get to a pretty solid 5.7 out of 10.
Okay. Think falling right where we want it
in
the rankings.
Not bad. It's past the Ewok movies. It's not quite as good as our next place, which is Phantom Menace at an 8.
So big jump.
Yeah, big jump. But you guys happy with that? The good part in the ranking?
Yeah, where does that fall in the ranking, Micah?
That's fourth place.
Fourth place.
If you're including... fourth from the bottom, if you're including Holiday Special.
So Holiday Special, Ewoks.
So it's seventh place.
Ewok Adventure, Battle for Endor, and then this would be fourth from the bottom. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, and gotta say, guys, we many times throughout this podcast, and for a long time, like even when we started, Ethan and I would make remarks about the sequel trilogy, and we say, well, that's a conversation for another day. Well, guess what?
Oh, man.
That day is
come, guys.
Because next week,
The Force will awaken.
That's right. Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. Oh, genuinely, man. I'm actually excited to watch this movie. I am so...
This is the first one that I clearly remember. I mean, it was the first one I saw in theaters, sure. But one that I am... This is my most vivid theater Star Wars memory.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
I am scared. I'm scared for the sequels and the Disney Star Wars, because I don't know how I'm going to feel about them.
It's been a while.
When I see stills of this movie and I think of certain elements, I am really drawn to them. But I hope I don't know. I'm ready to have fun next week.
I will be watching there's a version of this movie going around where the Millennium Falcon sequence off of Jakku is the IMAX expanded ratio.
Ooh.
So I'll be watching that one. I watched that the beginning of that clip. So when they're running around on Jakku to a bit of the flight, just to test it out to make sure that it was working all right. And I do have some thoughts for next week. I can't wait. I remember immediate thoughts right away. Like, where are you guys standing before watching it?
Before revisiting the sequel trilogy.
Before.
Like, what do we feel about it?
What do you guys remember? What are you guys' standings? Better? Worse?
I remember everyone comparing The Force Awakens to A New Hope.
Yep.
I remember that
too.
Yep.
But as George Lucas said, it's like poetry, you know, it rhymes. And I remember really liking The Force Awakens, too, at the time. I think we all really enjoyed The Force Awakens. And then Last Jedi comes out, and I don't know.
Came out.
That's when all the discourse really started. Because
I liked it.
Yeah, right. Or I didn't.
And I'm really excited to revisit these movies because how does my opinion change since then? I, thinking back retrospectively, I remember Force Awakens a lot more. The magic, the energy was there.
It was.
And then Last Jedi, I clearly liked straight out of the theater. Rise of Skywalker, I remember really liking out of the theater. There were some questionable decisions, but overall, I remember really liking the sequel trilogy. But I haven't seen them since theaters. So that also says something about these movies. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm excited to
It's going to be fun to watch these years later.
Yes.
And know the choices that are coming, know where the characters go, and then try to make sense of it.
And this is also post Mando, post Ahsoka, post whatever that other Boba Fett show was.
That's not as well explored besides these three films and a number of novels.
Especially because it's completely new now.
Yes.
With the purchase from Disney, everything with Luke's Jedi Academy, everything with, it's all retcon.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. The generations of Skywalkers past this, all the way to a descendant named Micah that was adopted into the Skywalker family, retconned for Legends, from Legends.
Asherad Het?
No. Asherad Het is a different guy. There is a descendant of Luke Skywalker in Legends adopted in that is named Micah.
Really?
Yes.
So he's there. He's there. Okay. Yeah. I have a very, very intense hatred for the last two in particular. So you're what, a hedgehog?
Adoptive child of Nat Skywalker.
Oh.
Cybernetic legs.
Okay.
Cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. I've definitely got a lot of thoughts. I know you guys have a lot of thoughts. I'm really excited to watch this. Sam has only ever seen Force Awakens.
Okay.
Really?
So she has not ventured into the sequel films.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know how much your opinions will. Do your opinions on movies tend to sway hers at all?
Unfortunately not.
Okay.
Well, no, I should say fortunately. You make up your own opinion about movies.
You do.
That's good. Yeah. It's good. I always want you to do that.
Sometimes have different ratings on Letterboxd.
I'm kind of nervous. Like, what if she likes?
Hey, good for her. What if we all like it, Ben?
It's not gonna happen.
See, you're going in ready to not like
Sam's
movies.
gonna have to come out to you as a sequel fan.
The thing is, guys, I already know how and why I think the way I think about these films. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So I am going in. I want to go in because I don't ever want to hate Star Wars. I go into everything wanting to like it. I want to enjoy this. And if I can enjoy it, I will. But we'll talk about it. We will talk about it next week.
This is where the fun begins.
That's right. That's right. So we thank you for sticking around. For now, this is Ben Rayside.
This is Ethan.
This is Stinky Micah.
Very stinky.
Stinky the Hut. Stinky the Hut.
Oozing off the couch right now.
I'm just...
Yeah. He's about as
I did take a shower before this just so that we can avoid any
Mikey,
you actually do stink today. Accusation.
So you were kind of a little worried that you
I was.
Well, I appreciate
you. Very nice. Yes.
You did come.
The things I do for you guys.
He did come in full Jabba cosplay, so I appreciate that.
Well,
wait. What's that supposed to be?
Guys. Remember,
the Force will be with you.
Always.